Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. Good afternoon. Thank and praise the Lord. It's Monday. We thank and praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank and praise the Lord. It's the old thanks day for another day that the Lord done spared me, another day that the Lord has kept me. And I'm just so grateful. This is Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. We send out a shout-out to Apostle Armstrong, who is the host of this broadcast, him and Lady Armstrong. We do thank and praise the Lord. I trust that you had a glorious, a prosperous, and a blessed weekend. Hallelujah. Ain't it good to know that the Lord is on your side when it comes down to operating on this earth? I'm glad that he's not only in me, but he's on my side. I thank and praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing in my life and what he's doing in my family. I just thank and praise the Lord for each and every one of you that pray for us individually and pray for me and my family. I tell you, I am so glad, and I say this all the time, I am so glad that I am saved. And I just, you know, I'm just want to take this a little time. We're going to just thank and praise the Lord. I thank and praise the Lord for being real in my life. I honor God the Father. I honor Jesus, my Savior and Lord. I honor God, the Holy Spirit that abide on the inside. And Father, I just want to say thank you. Father, I thank you. As David said, you remember my frame. You know that I'm dust. I thank you, Lord, you have not dealt with any of us according to our sins. And I praise you for it. I thank you that you laid it and put it all on Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, you was obedient unto your own death. I thank you that you gave up your life, that you would have many seeds, many sons and daughters. And I just thank you for it right now. I praise you, Father, for my family. I thank you, Father, how you continue to give us the grace to go on. I thank you for the strength. I thank you for the wisdom, the knowledge, the revelation. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my grandchildren. Hallelujah. And Father, even those in authority, I thank you for those godly people that's in authority. I thank you that you're causing them, God, to rule according to your word. I thank you, God, for uprooting all evil leaders and placing them with godly leaders. Father, I thank you. I praise you for it right now. I thank you, God, for the fivefold minister gifts. I thank you for the apostles. I thank you for the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors, and the teachers. I thank you, Father, how you are strengthening them in these last and evil days. I thank you for the fresh anointing that they're experiencing. I thank you for the revelation. I thank you, Father, that you are upholding us in your right hand, just like you're upholding everything in the word, in the world by your word. I thank you for it right now. I thank you for giving us wisdom and knowledge and revelation in this hour, in this time. I bless you for it. I praise you for it right now in the matchless name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for what you're doing for our young children. I give you praise for what you're doing for the young children in this hour, in this time. I thank you for divine protection for those that are in school, God. I praise you for it right now. I thank you for divine protection for our children, that you're watching over our children. I thank you, Lord, for those children that being taught how to stand on your word. I thank you for those children that being taught how to stand on your word. I thank you for husband and wife relationship. Oh, Father, we give you praise. We give you honor and blessing for it right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to bless you today, Father. I just want to give thanks for you. Thank you, Father, for supplying all of our needs according to your rich and glory by Christ Jesus. We said thank you for it today, God. I thank you for that, even right now, God, that individual, Father, that's dealing with stress, that individual that dealing with depression and all that, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus, and I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I pray for that mother. I pray for that father, that individual that just feel like, God, there's nobody there. I pray, Father, that they would have that personal encounter with you. I pray, Father, for the believer that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope of your calling. I even pray, God, for pastors that you would give them your word, that you would give them a right now word, a rhema word for your people. Oh, Father, I bless you today. I thank you, Father, that if the psalmist said, if it had not been for you that was on our side, we would have been consumed by our enemy. I just want to tell you thank you today. I bless you for this broadcast and broadcast all over the world, God. I even pray, Father, the ones that is not of you, I pray, Father, that they will be dissolved, that they will be removed off the air. And the ones that you are calling to speak a word in this hour and this time, that you will grace them with more revelation, more knowledge, more understanding, and that your anointing will increase on them, that whenever your word is being spoke through them, that anointing will be released over the airway, that the yokes will be destroyed, burden will be removed with that anointing, that bodies will be healed. Father, I thank you for it right now. We praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you, God. I thank you and I praise you right now. I bless you. I thank you, Father. And I bless you. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. I thank you, Father. I praise you and I bless you right now. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. We love you and we praise you and we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you, Father. Yes, we do. We love you. We praise you. We bless you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray. My brothers and sisters, you that have tuned into this broadcast, I pray you have a thank you, Jesus. I pray that you have thanksgiving in your heart today. I pray that you uplifted him. Hallelujah. Thank you. I know his crookedness going on in the world. I know from the White House or some people's house, but yet and still, we can yet praise him. And I don't know about you, but I praise the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I know I would have been consumed by the enemy. I thank you, Father, for watching over my children. I thank you for my grandchildren. I even thank you for the two great-grandchildren that's on the way. I praise you for them right now, Father. I thank you for the parents. I thank you that you're going to give them godly wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this hour, in this time. I thank you, God, that we have everything pertaining to life and godliness. Oh, Father, I thank you and I praise you right now. Hallelujah. Listen, if you haven't gave him a thanks today, if you have an offer of thanksgiving to the Lord and you're not, honey, you need to do it. It's something about praising the Lord. And I don't know about you. I had to learn how to praise him when things going good, as we call it, when things are going bad, when things not going the way we want. And I found out faith is not having confidence in the outcome of your prayer, but faith is having confidence in the one that made the promise. Come on, somebody. Somebody need that. I found out if you have faith and confidence in the one that made the promise, and you can trust him, whatever the outcome be, you know he did it for your advantage, not to your disadvantage. So I just thank and praise the Lord. This is Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. We've been talking about faith, the way of faith. Come on, somebody. The life of faith. We've been doing that. We started, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. According to my notes, we started in the 8th month. Mm-hmm. And we've been into the month. We started the 8th month, the 18th, and we were talking about the way of life, and we talked about walking by faith and not by sight. And I tell you, it have really helped me because the Lord began to tell me to go back and examine myself, and he even told me to talk about faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 chapter, it's impossible to please the Lord without faith. And since faith is such a major or the main ingredient when it comes down to being in the kingdom of God, we need to know some things about faith. We need to know what is faith. We need to know how to operate in faith since it's impossible to please God without faith. The Bible tells us in Romans, the 12th chapter, God give all of us a measure of faith, you know. The Bible tells us in Mark, the 11th chapter, Jesus made this bold statement. He said, have faith in God. One scripture said, have the God kind of faith. And God gave us the same kind of faith that he operate in. Everybody know what happened in Genesis, the first chapter, how in the beginning the world didn't have no form, and how God began to speak. God's words, faith, have the create ability, have the power in it to create, to transform your circumstances. So we have that same kind of faith. We have the God kind of faith. It's on the inside of us. Now, if you haven't been born again, you do not have the God kind of faith. Come on, somebody. You don't have it. Apostle Peter tells us in the second chapter, in Second Peter, the first chapter, he tells us that God then gave us everything pertaining to life and godliness. But he said it's through his precious promise. Philemon, the first chapter, it tells us the way that what caused our faith to be affected is for us to acknowledge everything in us that is Christ Jesus. Other words, everything that Christ did through his redemption, through his finished work, that's what we need to be acknowledging. Well, how you do that, Prophet Miller? By opening your mouth and confessing it. The Bible said Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And we have to open up our mouth and say what he said. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But I am just so grateful again for this opportunity. We're going to continue with faith, but I'm going to talk about another part of faith. Remember, we were saying in the beginning that believing something don't never change your circumstances, but faith will cause me to operate according to what I believe. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, Apostle Paul tells us, he said, we have the same spirit of faith as it is written. We believe, so we speak. And we supposed to speak according to our faith, what we believe in what God's word says. I found out that confession have played another major part in faith. Paul said one of our armor was the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful. I just sense an overflowing in my spirit right now just to praise him and thank him. Y'all, I'm telling you, I couldn't make it without the Lord. I don't know about nobody else. And I'm so grateful. I thank God for my children. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just have a gratitude. I'm just so grateful today. That's in spite of my circumstances, because if I wouldn't have had God in my life, when some of the things that I done experienced, some of the things that my children done went through, y'all, I would not have this sound mind that I have right now. And I'm telling you, don't allow, and I'm kind of shifting a little bit, but don't allow the enemy to cause you to lose out on being grateful. We need to be more grateful. We need to thank God more, because God's been good. God done brought us from the manufacturer. You know, people used to work from the cotton field to the manufacturer. Look at the homes that we live in now. I look at the home I live in. Look at the homes that my children live in. I remember as a child, and you done hear me if you've been listening at this broadcast, persistent and listen at our message. You know, a lot of time I have talked about as a child, we used to look down and we saw the dirt. Looked up, you seen the stars in the sky. But wake up in the morning in the water, be not froze in the buckets. Oh, we don't have to do that anymore. Maybe some people still living like that, but I'm grateful. I don't have to live like that no more. And I know it was by the grace of God. I understand now why my grandmother used to talk about the God that brought us. Oh, my grandmother would talk about God. And I was in some areas, I didn't understand what she was talking about, but she still talked about God, how God brought us through this, and how God did this, and how God would do that. I had a Gilligan kind of attitude. Remember again, he said, where's the God of our father, the God that brought them, the God that protected them? Your God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But as I stated, like I said, I'm just so grateful. I'm just grateful to him. I thank him. I thank him for my siblings. You know, August the 5th, my brother transitioned to heaven. And I have two sisters left and one brother here on earth. But I thank God for him. I thank God for choosing him to be my sibling. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. Thank God for my two children that made a career out the Air Force. Even though both of them had to go, one had to go to Desert Storm, one was in Afghanistan, and how the Lord protected him and protected my daughter. I'm grateful. I got grandchildren that, you know, in high school. I got one in high school, two in college, and one in the military. Y'all, I'm just grateful. I thank you, Father, for watching over me and my family. Hallelujah. And sometimes, instead of always crying and want God to do this, sometimes we need to just sit back and just think about the goodness of the Lord. I was in healing school maybe about a week or two ago, and we had Dr. K here, and he was ministering on how God said, do everything without mommy complaining. And y'all, I know from my own experience, sometimes when you're going through, if you ain't careful, the enemy will apply the pressure and you'll start mommy complaining, you know, instead of praising and being thankful, you know. So right now, I'm just overwhelmed with gratefulness. I'm just so grateful. And I do thank the Lord. I thank God for his patience. God's been very patient with me. God's been merciful to me. Now, I'm sure somebody said, Prophet Miller, me too. But let's give him some praise. Let's thank him today for it. Listen, don't nobody know what God did for you but you. Oh, God, I love the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all, like I said, I'm just overwhelmed, just being overtaken by his presence this morning, and I'm just grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But like I said, we've been talking about faith. What is faith and how to operate in faith? And because like I said, faith plays a major part in our walk with the Lord. You know, the kind of God that we serve, God knows, even if he told us what to do, we need a help in doing it. You know, so God have grace us with that. We talked about last Thursday, I thank and praise the Lord that Dr. Apostle Armstrong, he was with us. Thank and praise the Lord, he was with us. And we talked about the authority in faith. If you're a person been born again, your faith, you can operate in authority. Faith will cause us to take dominion, to operate. Remember in Genesis, the second chapter, that's what the Lord said to Adam and Eve. He gave them dominion. And I found out a lot of times, you got to learn how to walk in the kingdom. As I stated, you got to learn how to operate in faith. Come on in. Come on. God, I thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we have to learn how to operate in faith. And when he told them to have dominion, and I don't know about you, but I'm learning to exercise my faith. What about you? Hallelujah. And we talked from Matthew, the eighth chapter, we talked about the centurion servant that came to Jesus and wanted Jesus to heal his servant that was homesick. And Jesus began to tell him, he said, I will come. Jesus, the other word, I will go with you and I heal him. Make a long story short, the centurion man told Jesus, I'm a man under authority. I tell one person to come, and he come, tell one to go, they go. He told Jesus, he said, you just only speak the word. Other words, he was saying that Jesus had authority or have power over sickness. That's what he was really saying, you know. And we, as our faith will cause us to have authority over our circumstances. hear me good. But there too again, you have to get acquainted with the one that gave you the authority, that gave you the power. That is so important because I made this in the beginning, you know, I was sharing about how you don't have faith in the outcome. I know there have been times in my life I prayed about a situation and things, the way the outcome, the way it turned out, I got offended with God. And the Lord began to show me my offenses came from my, I had more faith in the outcome instead of having faith in the one that made the promise. It's something about when you develop a relationship with someone, you learn to have confidence and you learn to trust that individual. And when we have faith in God, regardless of the outcome of it, we say, God, I know you did this to my advance, not to my disadvantage. You will never do anything to hurt me. And that's that I learned. That's, you know, a lot of times some people have faith in the rules more than the ruler. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about a person relationship with the Father, and that is so important. Sometimes you need to pinpoint, where is my confidence? No, you can't separate God in his word. But listen, God is a person. The Trinity is a person. Come on, somebody. And we're supposed to have faith and confidence in the person that made the promise. Come on. It makes a difference. And once you, when you have confidence in the person that made the promise, and you done got acquainted with, you have to get acquainted with somebody before you can get confidence in. You get acquainted with them. You say, oh, okay, you know. Now, I thought you might should have did it this way, but you know what's best for me. Hallelujah. But as I stated, just giving a little bit of view while talking about faith. And you know, some people say, why God want us to walk in faith? Because he chose to do it that way. He the creator. The creator, he know what's most needful. He know what we need more than we know. And everything God did it based upon his love for each one of us. God loves everybody, you know, and that's the next thing I'm going to be talking about, the part that love played in faith. You can't separate love and faith. No more you can separate love and believing. All of those tie into faith, and we're going to talk about that's my next. We're going to be talking about love because love is so important. But if you go right now, you know, praise God. We still talking about faith. I'm going to go. I'm just kind of looking at my notes. Hallelujah. Thank you. And, you know, like I said, God is the focus of faith. Mm-hmm. And we still trying to help people to understand as much as that we can about faith. And I always say this, it's not the final revelation about faith. As you seek the Lord out, it will help you because I'm here to tell you, in order to get God to move in our situation, of our circumstances, you got to have faith. And God done already established faith. We just had to learn how faith works. Are we together here? Everything God did for you and I is motivated by his love for us. Come on now. We talk about faith. It's not believing in something, but faith is believing in someone. And that's God. That's where my faith. We go. Now, I want you to go to, let's go to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Matthew 22 and 38. I think that's what I want. Let's go there because, like I said, there too again, I want to talk about love. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about love. Love is so powerful, and I know how the world defines love, but my prayer, that even today, I've already prayed, and I'm believing the Holy Spirit that he will bring enlightenment and understanding, that he will help us to interpretate this word the way he would have us. You know, man view is different from God view. The way God view and define things is different from man. But thanks be to Lord for the Holy Spirit. He the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he would be the one that bring into our remembrance what he said. The Holy Spirit is the revelator. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. You can find many books on different subjects about the things of God, but don't never allow yourself to have more confidence in the book. Or if you just read somebody else's revelation about God, but we can ask the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, some things, some books out now, some things now ain't nothing to do with God. Hallelujah. Remember, and not only that, we also borrowed out of our sense, knowledge, faith. And in the four Gospels, if you go back, I'm just flowing. In the four Gospels, if you go back and see how those disciples operated in sense, knowledge, faith. Their faith and confidence were based upon hearing Jesus, seeing Jesus, seeing how he worked miracles, saw him casting out devil. They saw him healing the sick. And that what you call sense, knowledge, faith. And some of us, we might start out with sense, knowledge, faith, but we have to, in this new covenant, we have to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to put our confidence in the one that made the promise, or other word, in his words. But that's what they did. In St. John 1 and 14, it tells us how John said, we saw him, we held him, we witnessed of him. And remember old Thomas? A lot of time we knocked Thomas, but Thomas told him after Jesus had visited them and that next day, and they told Thomas about Thomas, said, well, I ain't going to believe until I see him. When I take my hand, see the prince in his hand, and take my hand and put it in a hole in his side. Jesus showed up and said, okay, now do it, Thomas. I'm paraphrasing it. And Thomas said, oh, Lord. And Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, blessed are you because you believe, not because you see, but blessed those that believe and have not seen. And we are the one that God said, bless, have happy fortune us because we believe and we haven't seen Jesus in the form of the flesh. The Bible tells us in John, he dwelled, the word came flesh and dwell among them. But it's through the Holy Spirit that opened up our eyes and let us see Jesus through his word. Hallelujah. In Matthew Gospel, the 22nd chapter. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the greatest commandment. I'm going to read it from the Living, and I'm going to go over in my Amplify to share with you. Okay, and in Matthew 22, I'm going to start at the 34th verse. It said, but when the Pharisees that heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they was gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Listen. Is the what is the first? You know, now some people they talk about, you know, you can't love this and you can't do this. Y'all, let's stick with what the words say. Hallelujah. Paul said that the love of God been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And he said the love of God, that agape love, that unconditional love. I'm telling you, God have made it possible. Hear me. You and I, Romans, the first chapter tell us we're without excuse. And that's sometimes, you know, that's based upon the finishing work of God when it said we're without excuse. Everything we need, but we have to make it up in our mind to get in the word and read the word and find out what God say. You want to know who God is? Get in your Bible. And like I said, the enemy will go to extreme measure. He don't want you to get in the Bible. He'll tell you that you can't understand the Bible, you can't do this. I'm a living witness if you want to know. The Bible says seek us find. If you truly want to know what is the will of God, if you seek him with all your heart, he will be found. The Bible said that he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. God is constantly speaking to all of us. Yeah, y'all, God speaks to sinners too. They just don't pay attention like I did when I was a sinner. God speaks to all of us because we all came from God. We didn't come from a monkey and all of that stuff, but we all came from God. And Matthew, I'm going to read it from the King James Version, then I'm going to go over and I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. But he said in the 37th verse, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Love is play a major part when it comes down to faith. That's why when I hear people talking about, I don't like so-and-so, and I hate so-and-so, I can't stand to be in their sight. But we're going to get in that a little later. But love, and I don't know about y'all, love play a major part in faith. Now, I'm going to read that from the Matthew 22 from the Living Translation. Y'all know Prophet Miller like a Living Translation. Yes, I do. And then we're going to go into the scripture that we're going to be using for the foundation. This is the love is so important. Matthew 22:38. Okay. Matthew 22:22. I'm going to start at the 34th verse. Matthew 22:34. Got to make sure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 30. Okay, so but when the Pharisee heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they thought up a fresh question of their own to ask him. One of them, an expert in religion law, tried to trap him with this question. Ain't this amazing? Even now, I can understand what Jesus experienced a lot of time. I have people trying to trap me up too. People want to get in debate about the word. Y'all, I don't have time for that. And I say to you, Paul told Timothy not to debate over the word. Don't debate over the word. Let me tell you something. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit have to brick our heart and bring understanding. He have to bring conviction. I can't make nobody see. Now, I can use everything, you know, the grace that are upon my life, the wisdom, the knowledge, the revelation, and the understanding that the Lord have graced us to share with you. But listen, I can't make you. I'm not in the making business. I'm not anointed to make you. I'm anointed to give you what the Lord say and trust the Holy Spirit by the time it come out of my mouth to get to you. He'll be not did something with that word. Amen. But anyway, like they were always trying to trap Jesus. He said to trap him with this question, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is that first and greatest commandment. A second is equal important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments and all the demand of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And you hear more people once, ain't no way you can love everybody. Ain't no way you, like I said, who know you better than the Creator? How you let people tell you what you can't do? And even if you go back to Deuteronomy 6th chapter, 5th verse, he talk about love. Come on now, love. Love, you can't separate love and faith. Okay, let's go to the last scripture that we're going to use. And this really the foundation scripture where we're going to be talking about love. What love got to do with faith? I don't know that y'all watched the movie, but I did. What love got to do with it? You know, but when it come down, the Bible tell us in Matthew, the 24th chapter, in the last day, the love of many going to wax cold. Let me tell you something. When you stop loving God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength, anytime you stop loving anyone that you was in love with, you'll find yourself operating in distrust. Come on. you'll begin to cast away your confidence. And in the hour, in the time we're living in, you don't need to cast away your confidence in God. I don't care how gloomy it looking. I don't care. Y'all listen, Jesus is soon to come. Don't let the enemy call, deceive you or have you to believe he's not coming. The enemy tell you, well, if God didn't fulfill this promise, he ain't going to fulfill the rest of them. Y'all, Jesus is soon to come. I don't know the hour. I don't know the date and none of that because the Bible don't say. But you can rest assured he's coming. Everything the prophets prophesied or everything that means was the daily bushata that was inspired by the Holy Ghost to say, it's happening. It's happening right before. People are so busy. And watch that little spirit of detraction, that little busy spirit. You're so busy, you don't have time to get in the Word. You're so busy, you don't have time to pray, have time to spend with the Lord. There's so many things now that can detract us to get our attention. But you have to make time and find time to get in the Word. And I thank and praise the Lord through the finishing work of Christ. He made it possible if I want to spend time with him, if I want to hear from him, it's possible. But I have my part to play. Okay? Now, like I said, I read that from the King James Version. We're going to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians, the fifth chapter, in the sixth verse. He was talking about the law. But he was showing everything God did, it was based upon his love for humanity. It's only one race of people. And you have people want to talk about the colors, it's only humanity. That's only one race of people. See, the one thing, the enemy have went to extreme measure to try to mess up our mindset when it comes to our view, but when it comes now to thinking about in verse, what God done said about us. He go to extreme measure. I remember that was gave to one of my intercessors over maybe, it had been 10 years ago, might be less than that, but we was in a setting and we was in a teaching about as being intercessors, how God required us to pray. And that revelation came through with Prophet McGriff and said how the enemy go to extreme measures. And y'all, he do that. You know, when you find yourself, you don't have time to pray, you better know that's the money activity that's going on in your mind. Because the enemy know that our Creator, our Heavenly Father is faithful who promised. If God said it, God will do it. Isaiah said that in Isaiah 55. He was talking about the words to go forth out of God's mouth. It won't return unto God void. Whatever God say, that's what he'll do. His word will accomplish it. And God compare his word to rain. Do you not know when it rain? Rain is on assignment, R-A-I-N. Rain is on assignment. Whenever it rains, its assignment is to water the earth, and it's going to do that. Now, the enemy tried to get in there and call floods and all this stuff. And, you know, remember when the disciples, Jesus told them to go to the other side and how the enemy interfered in that. He tried to keep them from going to the other side. And when they woke Jesus up and Jesus recognized, he knew who it was. He began to rebuke. He began to talk to the storm. And the storm, he had authority. He used his authority. But Jesus was motivated by his love for the Father. He made a statement, I always do those things that please the Father. Love is a motivator. Love will cause us. I do what I do because I love the Father. I treat people with the help of the Lord because I want to please him. Okay? In Galatians, the fifth chapter, sixth verse. I'm going to read the first three verses. And this will begin, like I said, we still talking about faith because we're going to find out. I'm going to read it from the King James Version. Hallelujah. Excuse me. We go to Galatians. Hallelujah. And I pray and trust that you take these scriptures that we give you, and when we go off the air, go read them. Go back and read them. And say, Lord, prophet or whatever. But Lord, help me. Go back and read them. And ask him to open up your spiritual eyes. Someone is listening at the broadcast. Would you please put your phone on mute? Someone is tuning in to the broadcast. You're interfering, so please put your phone on mute. And thank you for tuning in. I always thank and praise the Lord for each one that tuning in to it. Okay, in Galatians, the 5th chapter, and then further, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, he's talking about the Mosaic law. Now, they had got over it. When Jesus came on the scene, he did away with the Mosaic law. You know, you still, and people don't realize that, the 10th commandment came 2 commandments. Because if you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, you ain't going to commit adultery. You ain't going to cover your neighbor. What's your neighbor? You ain't going to kill. You ain't going to steal. God is still saying you don't kill and you don't steal. Because as I say, our love for God is what motivates us. Why do you think people, the Bible said, for this cause shall a man leave mother and father and cleave to him a wife, and it's no more one, but it's two. Why do you think the man fall in love with the woman with the man, they love each other enough, they want to go out on their own, they want to get married. What caused them to do that? It was love. Love is a motivator. Love is a motivator. Love is a motivator. How much do you love him? And you just like that, and I'm like that. You that are married, you love your spouse. You that before you got married, you loved them enough, you wanted to be with them. It was the love you have for them that motivate you. What motivated divorce? Don't love them no more. But anyway, let me read on. It said, because I, Paul, say unto thee, I'm in the second verse, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is dealt to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whomsoever of you are justified by the law, ye have fallen from grace. Justified if you've been acquitted. No, we were justified by our faith in Christ Jesus. That's what justified us. That's what brought us into the righteousness of God. Our faith. Your faith. The faith God gave us. Come on. So we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcised availeth anything, nor circumcision. Look at this letter. It's about faith which worketh by love. I want you to see that. Which faith. Now listen, like I said, everything God did. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. God sent Jesus to get back our rightful place, our original place that God wanted us to have in him. Man, when Adam sinned, y'all, we didn't have no hope. We were hopeless, but what God did, God always wanted to have a relationship with his creation. And so what God, with humanity, so what God did, somebody please put your phone on mute. Please, sir, or please, ma'am, put your phone on mute. But anyway, God, that's what God did. It was his love for us. And everything you and I do as a born-again believer is based upon us loving him. With all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, it's loving him. And when you love somebody, you learn to trust them. You learn to put confidence in them when you love them. That's the way that works. You learn to put confidence. You learn to have faith in them. You learn to trust them. But y'all, you know what I found out about God? Because of who God is, when we trust him, the Bible said nothing would be impossible for us. That is so powerful. If you trust a man or a woman or trust a thing, it is limit. But our faith is confident. It's in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and they are not limited. They are 3 in 1. That's another teaching. But anyway, it said, but faith worketh by love, yet did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? They started out believing that Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses. But some people got in there. Come on, some Jews, they got in there and began to confuse them to try to get them to go back to the law of Moses. Legalism. Come on, somebody. Now listen, you don't get saved by works, but your works do show that you do have faith. No, I couldn't save myself. I had to believe and trust the one, which was Jesus. Jesus came. He was the pure lamb. He was the lamb that pleased God for mankind's sin. Then he go on to 8 verse, this persuasion coming not of him that calleth you, a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye would be done otherwise minded. But he that trouble you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the fence of the cross ceased. I would that they was even cut off which trouble you. There too again, like I said, I want to show you faith, and I'm telling you, faith that does not sincerely love and obey Christ show real concern of the word. If you truly love God, I want you to hear me. You hear a lot of people come out, you know, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I know I love you. When we look at God's definition for love, it don't mean I love you so much, if you wrong, I'm going to get with you. I'm going to compromise. Love you enough to tell you the truth, and guess what? And if I have to deal with you disrespecting me or disconnecting to me, that come with it. The Bible said, who all live a godly life is going to suffer persecution. And this is something that I had to learn as a born-again believer. When you make up in your mind to live right, when you make up in your mind that you fall in love with God and you develop a relationship with God, you're going to be persecuted. And the greater persecution is going to come from your family, your inner circle, which is your family, your loved one. Jesus made up in his mind to obey his Father. And the Bible talks about how his siblings, how his own people wouldn't receive him. And that's something I have to learn. And God had to show that he said, why do y'all mumble and grumble about persecution? Why you mumble and grumble because people don't like you? People don't receive you? He said, that's one of the signs that you truly love me. When you develop that relationship or when you come into the kingdom and you make up in your mind you're going to serve God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. You love him and you're going to do what he say do. That's when people are going to start criticizing you. They're going to find fault with you. See, I learned that. The Bible says true prophets not going to be received. That's why I look at some of these people say they prophets and they certain and they don't be being criticized. Now, don't get me wrong. You make sure if they false accuse you, make sure you're not guilty. Come on now. That's the whole thing about it. If they lying on you, you the one got to make sure that they lie. It's a lie and it's not true. Because we living in this hour, in this time. If you standing up for righteousness, somebody going to criticize you, and it'll start with your inner circle. I'm talking about your family. So don't get all bent out of shape. I tell people, if I got a dollar for every lie been told on me, I have me about 20 home paid in full. But God had to teach me. That's part of it. That go with it. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, I'm going to go and read it from the, we got 10 minutes left. I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. I'm going to read those first 6 verses because that's, again, my foundation scripture is that faith worketh by love. That's what we're going to be talking about. And this is going to help you to examine yourself as well to see if you operate in the God kind of faith. Come on now. Look how Jesus was persecuted, even what I showed you in Matthew 22, how they were trying to trap Jesus. And y'all, you know, it's sad, but that just the way it worked. You know, I thought when I first got saved, everybody will receive me. No, they didn't. And some of the people in the church building, come out the building. A lot of them didn't receive me. You know, say certain things, they look at you funny and all of that. But a true Christian, or better yet, a person that truly been born again, even if they disagree with you, they don't separate themselves from you. Come on. Now, some of you ain't got to agree with me, but I'm teaching good. Okay, look at we're in Galatians, the fifth chapter. I'm going to read it from the Living Translation. It says, so Christ has really set us free. Set us free for what? The law. The Moses of the law. That's what he's talking about. He don't set us free from works, for trying to gain God approval by doing, because we can't do it. None of us could keep the whole ten, keep all the Moses of the law back then. And even now, you and I can't do it. We need help. Now listen, grace is not a license to sin. And I hear people talking, well, you know, since grace, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Come on now. That is not the way it works. Well, I know I'm supposed to be fornicating, but prophet, I just can't help myself. So what I do, whenever I do it, I repent. If I cuss, I just repent. If I don't, listen, repentance don't mean until you, Lord, forgive me till the next time. Godly repent. You're supposed to show godly fruit. Remember John the Baptist? John the Baptist told, sure, they said, we Abraham's seed. John the Baptist says, show some, and we don't repent. He says, show some fruit of your repentance. We got a lot of people running around here talking about they saved. What are the fruits? What are the fruits? Fornicate is a fruit of the flesh. What is the fruit? You walk around here mean as a rattlesnake. You hating on everybody. You talking about everybody you can talk about. The Bible says the righteous cover, not listen. Not compromise. The righteous don't go around out here and broadcast about another brother and sister. If they have something against them, according to the Bible, they go to that individual and they talk it to them. They discuss it with them. And it ain't all about who right and who wrong. But our relationship need to be restored. That's what the Bible say. That's what the B-I-B-L-E say. He said, now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again into slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, now up under the Moses of the law, they had to be circumcised. They had to be circumcised. We say from the natural. But we ain't up under the Moses of the law no more. Our faith gonna be affected by the love that we first have with God. Come on now. That's what it's going to be. That's how we loving God, and we hear it, and we obeying him. We doing what he say do. Not based on, I just don't feel, listen, I don't know about you. It took me, way in the beginning of my walk with the Lord, I had to learn. Ain't got nothing to do with how I feel. Y'all, so you think I feel like going on the air all the time, the days that I'm supposed to be on the air, thank God for that. Sometimes I don't be feeling it. But faith calls, I do what I do because I love God and I know it's right. Jesus made this statement to one epistle. He said, do unto them, share them to do unto you. Do everything else unto the Lord. Well, honey, I know what the Lord said, but so-and-so, and I just can't stand. You don't know so-and-so, and just get on my nerve. You don't know you got grace to endure people getting on your nerve? The remote is in your hand in this new and better covenant. You and I have the remote. Yes, sometimes people can kind of figure it, but I know how to come. No, now, I'm not going to let no bitterness and resentment get in my heart. I experienced something like that before I went on the broadcast today. With a salesman. Yeah, I told him, I said, I understand your job. You got to do your job because I work. I have a job too. I work. I work for the kingdom. And it's laws and principles that I have to abide by. I do that because I love him. And I told him, I said, I don't agree with the way y'all do things. I don't. I respect you for your job, but I disagree with the way you running it. You know. But there too again, we are supposed to be molded by love. It's a myth, and I'll tell you this. If you are counting on services to make yourself right with God, then Christ cannot help you. I say it again, if you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey all of the regulation in the whole law of Moses. So if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the laws, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive everything promised us who are right with God for through faith. But when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, it makes no difference to God whether we are circumcised or not circumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Are you hearing that? Expressing our self in love. But let me go and read down because I read down to the 12th verse from the King James. Let me read it here. You are getting along so well. Who have interfered with you to hold you back from following the truth? It surely isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. But it takes only one wrong person among you to infect all others. A little yeast spread quickly through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to bring you back to believing as I do about these things. God will judge that person whoever it is who have been troubling and confusing you. Dear brother and sister, if I was still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why would the Jews persecute me? The fact that I am still being persecuted proves that I am still preaching salvation through the cross of Christ alone. I only wish that those troublemakers who want to manipulate you by circumcision will manipulate themselves. For you have been called to live in freedom, not freedom to satisfy. Listen, there too again. I like what he's saying here too. We was not called into freedom to satisfy our sinful nature, or better yet, the lust of our flesh. My flesh had desires, and they are contrary to the will and the plan of God for my life. I wasn't set free to satisfy my flesh desires. Because they contrary. Paul even said, love not the world, neither the thing that's in the world. Let me finish this so we'll pick up the next time. But freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But if indeed, instead of showing love among yourself, you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware, destroy one another. I'm going to pick up with that because we need to know that. So what we call some love is not. Again, I want to thank each and everyone for tuning in today. We started off about what love has to do with faith. We're going to continue. Father, I thank you again for those that tune into the broadcast. I pray, Father, for enlightenment and understanding. Bring more clarity and understanding. I trust each and everyone with you, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher. I trust you to bring the enlightenment to understand each one. I bind up religion and tradition. I come against religion and tradition that would try to cause them to reason the voice out. Help them, Holy Spirit. Help all of us to hear what you said to us through your word. Help us not only to hear, but help us to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was an apostolic prophet, Willie Ann Miller. I thank God for each and everyone that tune in. Listen, tune in on Thursday. We will continue. And I pray in Jesus' name you have a continued, a prosperous day today. And remember, the Lord loves you.